This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Cameron Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Line drive, that headed to left, and that ball gets out of here. He's done it again. Rafael Devers has driven in 6 runs in this game. He goes opposite field.
There's a lot of people that are going to miss him next week. You know, hopefully, I don't know. You can't hope. I mean, he's not going to make it, so whatever. He's consistent in what he's doing. He's dominating the strike zone. He's playing good defense. He's a good base runner. He's a complete player, you know, and he's only 22.
Alex Cora talking about Rafael Devers, third baseman of the Red Sox, third baseman of your Boston Red Sox. Boy, what a year this kid's having. And yet you don't typically hear me gush about young players. Devers has been touted now for a while since he was in the system. But what he has turned into this year is even better than I thought Rafael Devers was going to be. 617-779-0985 here on the Baseball Reporters. Matt McCarthy is alongside tonight. Offering headlines. Jim Murray's out. Felger was out today. We'll take up until 7 o'clock. And if you want to talk about, you want to talk Red Sox, now's the time to do it. Okay, now's the time to do it. Again, 617-779-0985. Right now, Rafael Devers, among American League third basemen, number one in OPS, number one in batting average, number one in runs batted in, number one in hits, number one in runs scored, number one in doubles. He's not first in homers. Alex Bregman and Matt Chapman both have more homers, as do Tommy La Stella and Renato Nunez, who's with the Orioles. So it's not all about home runs. It's really about the whole package with Rafael Devers. Extra base hits, hits, batting average, all of the above. What you have right now at third base is an elite player. Elite. We're talking about one of the absolute best in the business at third base. And when you get right down to it, again, I gave you the American League rankings. Devers right now ranks third in the majors in OPS at his position. And one of the guys in front of him is Nolan Arenado.
He plays at Coors Field.
And also, yep. And I would also say that is regarded as one of the 10 best players in baseball,
no,
maybe
easily,
5 best?
Easily.
Right? So look, there is a Coors factor too, Matt. No question. So the point being, you have a guy that is one of the top 2 or 3 players at his position in the game right now, in Rafael Devers. And to me, this relates to the Red Sox in the bigger picture in this way. Rafael Devers should cause you to reevaluate decision-making with regard to some of the other players on the Red Sox here going forward. He's that type of a factor. He's that type of a force. And so you have two guys coming up potentially for contracts or decisions at the end of the year. J.D. Martinez, who could opt out of his contract, and Mookie Betts, who is entering his final year before free agency. A year from now, Mookie Betts is going to be getting ready to be a free agent. He'll be a free agent in November of 2020. And I have said over and over again, if you can't sign Mookie this offseason, you have to trade him. And the performance of Devers, to me, makes all of this so much easier. So I'm going to ask it this way, Matt. You give me your 2 cents, and then we'll open it up to the callers. Okay, again, 617-779-0985. We'll get to Dave Dombrowski. We'll get to the bullpen. We'll get to Steve Pierce. We'll get to all of that here in the next 52 minutes or whatever it is. But as it pertains to the future of the Red Sox, if you could only pick one today, right now, Rafael Devers or Mookie Betts, who do you pick?
Oh, I would pick Rafi Devers, and I would do it pretty easily, honestly, Tony, because I think Rafi Devers has established himself as either your number 3 or number 4 hitter for years to come. He's 22 years old. He's cost-controlled. He's only going to get better. And Mookie Betts, you have to pay. next season. And you have to wonder, is he going to be worth 10 years at $375 million or whatever he's going to get? I don't know if we can evaluate it in a vacuum, but that's what we do here. We'll evaluate in a vacuum. You make me pick Devers or Mookie Betts moving forward. I pick Devers, and frankly, I don't even think it's that close, to be honest.
Okay, now look, one guy's having a good year, one guy's having a bad year, right? So it's all about which way it's trending. In the case of Devers, it's trending up. In the case of Betts, it's trending down. We all know how good a player Mookie Betts is.
But that isn't based on this year or anything. That's based on what's coming up next year and the contract situation and everything. That's not based on the fact that Betts is having a disappointing season. I can overlook that. And, you know, I can also see that Devers is having a great season, but that's not what I'm basing it on. I'm basing it on all the other factors, too.
Okay, so here's what I like. And I also picked Devers. I'm curious as to who fans would pick. Who do Red Sox fans pick? If you had to pick one or the other, who do you want? Because a year ago, you were all in love with Mookie Betts, and I told you Mookie was overrated. Now, I was worried about Devers, too. I'm not going to lie. I didn't say to trade Devers, but I was starting to worry about him.
Didn't you say trade him for Machado?
I did last year, actually. Correct. Yeah, Machado and Britton. Mm-hmm. If you could get both, I said I would do it. Okay? At that time, I did. I also said, I think, what, a little over a year ago, entering last season, or I should rephrase, following 2017, I had to cut ties with Bogarts. And I'll tell you...
0-2.
Okay, absolutely 0-2. And I'll tell you what I underestimated. The Alex Cora factor on both of those guys.
It's been huge.
Okay? So, again, Cora's from the Caribbean. He's from Puerto Rico. Devers is what, Venezuelan? No, Eddie Rodriguez is Venezuelan. Devers is Dominican.
Yes, I believe he's Dominican.
Okay, and obviously Xander Bogaerts is from Aruba. So all those guys are from the Caribbean. Cora has gotten through to Bogaerts and Devers. Cora can communicate with those players. And in this way, Cora's worth the hire just for this fact, that he was able to turn Xander Bogaerts into a superstar, which is what he's become or becoming right in front of your eyes. And Rafael Devers... It's not just the home runs and the doubles and the RBI. He's hitting 320. I mean, Rafael Devers is batting 320. I don't care if he doesn't walk. If he hits 320 with his power, it's good enough.
Oh, yeah, and he's taking it to all fields, too. I mean, he's the perfect hitter right now.
So he hits at home and he hits on the road. He hits lefties and he hits righties. And here's the part that I love. Bogaerts bats right-handed, Devers bats left-handed, and you've signed Xander Bogaerts.
Yep, that's your 3-4 for years to come. That's your foundation.
And Matt, one's a lefty, one's a righty.
Yep, it's perfect.
So when you go against a tough righty, you have Devers. When you go up against a tough lefty, you'll have Bogaerts. Right? And neither guy is inept against the tougher side, right? Bogaerts is good against righties. Mm-hmm. Devers is good enough against lefties. But when you look at, to me, a great lineup... has a good combo in the middle, 3-4, and they're opposite sides.
Manny and Ortiz, it's the perfect example.
So that's the easy one, right? Yep. And ideally, look, if you had your druthers, you'd want two lefties who can hit left-handed pitching. Because you're going to face righties 70% of the time. But Devers, to me, in tandem with Bogaerts, that's the centerpiece of your lineup for the next 5 years. Meanwhile, your farm system sucks. Your pitching is all signed up. And Mookie has resisted signing. If I were the Red Sox... I would guarantee the final 3 years of J.D. Martinez's contract, opt in J.D., even give him a sweetener, 3 years. I'd trade Mookie Betts to rebuild the farm system, and I would go forward with Devers and Bogaerts. But as a Red Sox fan, you tell me, which way would you go? And then again, later in the show, we'll get to the bullpen, we'll get to Steve Pierce, we'll get to Dave Dombrowski, we'll do all of that. Jim is in Brockton on Rafael Devers. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. Devers is a great natural left-handed hitter with a slashing style. I think he's even got a sweeter swing than Freddie Lynn. I think this guy's going to have a long career. And I don't even think Betts wants to play here. I think he's highly. I mean, he was the MVP last year, but he's had a good year, not a great year. He's underrated, Tony. And I think Devers is more of a pure hitter than. Than most hitters in baseball, really. I'd even go that far.
No, Jim, I'm sorry I let you go. Calling him a pure hitter is the right way to describe it, too, because that's what he is. You know, look, he doesn't walk a ton. I mean, he's walked, I think, under 30 times. Not that that's absolutely horrible in a half season. If he ends up with 60, 70 walks, that's okay. Given the way he hits, that's okay. The old rule of thumb someone told me is you want at least one walk for every 10 plate appearances. Okay, you want one walk for every 10 plate appearances.
He's got 24 walks with 353 plate appearances.
Okay, so he's low.
Yes.
He's low. But nonetheless, with the way he hits, he can get away with it. Because, again, he's batting 320. And with his power, 320 is worth a lot.
And he's not striking out a ton. He's only got 57 Ks, which in this day and age, not bad at all.
No, so he puts a bat on the ball. Yes. A lot. What's his on-base, Matt?
On-base is 378.
Okay, so again, very high. Right, average is somewhere around 330, 335.
329.
Usually in that window. It's usually 330 to 335, right in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's almost at 380. You're way ahead. I'd rather take a guy who hits 320 with a 380 on base mm-hmm. than a guy who hits 240 with a 380 on base.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Because the hits are worth way more than the walks.
And that's something I hate about this day and age in baseball, Tony, is that, you know, people will say, well, you know, if he hits 240 but his on base is fine. No, hits are good, too. Hits aren't bad in this day and age in baseball. I'm sorry. Batting average still means something.
Absolutely. Particularly if the on base is the same, you'd rather have a guy who hits his way on. John's in a car. John, go.
Hey, Tony. Yeah, so I got a couple of thoughts on why, you know, I'm looking at it a little bit of a different way. I think Devers gives you a little bit more sort of versatility for the future. You know, in my mind, he sort of has a good makeup for a future DH after JD leaves. And, you know, with Chavis, maybe he's got some ability to play third, or, you know, you've got some options there in the infield and how to use Devers down the line if he's not going to be their best third base option. I don't know the stats on how he is necessarily defensively, but I just sort of see him as he gives you a little bit more versatility. And if you can get, you know, a haul for Mookie, if he's not going to resign here, you know, I'd say it's kind of an easy decision. Let him go, rebuild the farm system a bit, and lock up Devers down the line, down the middle.
So, John, look, I like versatility is a good way to put it with Devers, but the bottom line is he hits. Okay, you'll find a spot for that bat. Like a guy who can DH, that isn't versatility. Anybody can DH. Mookie can DH. Right? And Mookie's got versatility, too, and I'm not talking about second base. Mookie can play center field on a lot of teams.
Oh, God, yeah, he
can. So this isn't the versatility isn't what makes him a better option than Betts. What makes him a better option than Betts is that right now, anyway, he's a hell of a lot cheaper. Mookie doesn't want to sign here, and you got to make a decision. And the other thing, and again, to me, this is no small thing. He's left-handed. So you can stick him now in the middle of that lineup with Bogarts and have left-right. 3-4, left-right. Maybe it's 2-3. I don't care where they bat. Okay, the bottom line is side-by-side, left-right. That makes it hard on opposing lineups. It makes it hard on opposing pitching staffs. Okay, I really like that. And if Mookie doesn't want to be here, save the $20 million. Save it. Put it into the bullpen. Because God knows you need that. And I do believe, like Matt, that 3-4, Bogarts, Devers can do it. 3-4. You can find a number five hitter. You can always find a number five hitter.
J.D. Drew.
A three hitter and a four hitter, much more difficult task. We'll continue with your calls because, again, it's an interesting discussion. Rafael Devers, in a lot of ways, is making Mookie Betts expendable, if you ask me. And I think the Red Sox would be smart to do it that way. Meanwhile, Dave Dombrowski, address the bullpen. We did some of this last night. Address Steve Pierce, who's going to be out for a while. We'll touch on those when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Well, Pierce, as you see, we recalled his injury rehab assignment. Unfortunately, it just caught us. So, of course, we are in London, so a lot of things were a little bit delayed. But I think it was Saturday they got back to me that his knee was bothering him, and which was the first time I'd ever heard that. And they said, well, he had fallen about a week ago in a game and hit it. It hadn't bothered him, and all of a sudden it was bothering him. So we recalled his rehab, got him checked by the doctor, and he's going to be out for a while now at this point. He's got something wrong with his knee. He's not going to need surgery. He's going to need rehab, but it'll keep him out for an extended period at this point. I would say probably around a month would be my guess.
It's Dave Dombrowski last night on Steve Pierce. And with all the Red Sox problems in the bullpen, Steve Pierce is worth discussing. Normally, a one-year, $6 million player, $7 million player, six and a half, six and three quarters, whatever it is. Okay, normally that kind of guy, you'd say, well, why are you wasting your breath on that? They're the Red Sox. They can afford the 6.75. This team this year doesn't have a lot of room because of that luxury tax, and the owner has come out and said, we're not going to add significant payroll. So that $6.5 million, $7 million, that makes a difference now. And had the Red Sox known Michael Chavis was going to give them what they did, and they should have known. Again, an organization that has run well looks at its minor league system, says, nope, we got a guy coming that we can integrate. Someone once told me that three players every 2 years, 1.5 players a year, you should add from your minor league system. 1.5 players a year.
That's a good one. I like that.
So coming out of spring training, you should have one ready to go. And around the middle of the year, you should have another that comes in sometime in the middle of the year and starts to give you something, a la John Papelbon in 2005, I think it was, right? So you get the idea. One guy comes up in the middle of the year, he's ready to go, you bring him in. One guy at the beginning, there's your player and a half every year. You know who the Red Sox did that with this year? Nobody. They didn't bring up a guy from the minors. Chavis came up later, but they didn't build it in. Okay, they didn't build it in. And Pierce, that comment from Dombrowski, let me just get this off my chest. Boy, is that circumspect. Talk about vague. He fell down? I just learned about it. We were in London. Like what? They don't have cell phones there? There's no internet? You can't text? You can't email? Like, Red Sox people couldn't get in touch with Dave Dombrowski while he was in London? The time difference screwed it up that much? Send an email. Send a text. If he needed to find out, he would have found out. And then, the nature of the injury, he fell down, he has something wrong with his knee, what is it? The bottom line is, Steve Pierce, in a lot of ways, is the poster child for this Red Sox team this year. He came into camp in 2019 after winning the MVP of the World Series, signed a one-year deal, got his championship, got his hardware, and came in fat. He was fat and out of shape, and he's given them nothing all year long. I liked Pierce when they brought him in. I wanted them to bring Pierce back. But wow, talk about a guy who cashed in on the championship and then pretty much shut it down. Forget Pierce. You get nothing out of Pierce this year.
And this speaks to my point, Tony, that you need more than just a closer. You need more than just, you know, another pitcher in that bullpen or whatever. You need a bench bat now. I mean, now you need a second baseman. There's so many holes on this team that they need to fill. And how are you going to fill them when the owner says we're not spending any more money? I don't know how.
They're not going to fill them all, Matt.
No.
And so at the moment, focus on the bullpen. In the other areas, you're going to have to be good enough to at least make a run. Chris is in a car on Nathan Eovaldi going to the bullpen. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, hey, Tony. Thanks. Happy Fourth. Eovaldi, I'm not happy about it because of what I spoke to you about 2 weeks ago. This coming up with the New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays series, Eovaldi can be able to pitch 14 games. I mean, out of those 14 games against our division opponents. How many closes do you think? I mean, I don't know. Sorry about that.
Look, Chris, at the end of the day, Eovaldi to the bullpen right now is the right move. Okay, what I don't like is the Red Sox talking out of both sides of their mouths on this, which I'll get to in a second. In the first segment of the show, I told you the emergence of Rafael Devers should cause you to reevaluate Mookie Betts. Devers and Bogarts in the middle of your lineup for the next 5 years, that's pretty good. You can build around that. You can build around that. Those guys are pretty good. As long as Cora's the manager. And I think it should be that way for another few years. So I would trade bets at the end of the year. I would. Tim's in a car. Go ahead, Tim. What do you got?
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
Good.
So we're talking about the four main guys on the Red Sox and who should they keep and how's it going to play out. So my question to you is what free agents are available during the ends of those contracts that we can sign to replace, which might make the decision easier, and what's the Scott Boras factor for our guys?
Okay, so Tim, I'll tell you what. Honestly, I haven't even looked at the free agent list. I don't know if Matt McCarthy's looked at it
or not.
I'll
look it up.
Okay, so I haven't gotten that far. And Mookie Betts is not represented by Boras. J.D. Martinez is. Okay, so when you say the Boras factor, I don't know. I mean, if Mookie Betts, or rather, if J.D. Martinez has some sort of injuries or something in the second half, is he going to get another five-year deal when he hits the market? Because the Red Sox gave him five, but it was an opt-out after two. And actually, JD has an opt-out, I think, after year three and maybe even year four.
He can opt out the next 3 years.
So he can opt out at any time. So staying with the Red Sox for another year is not a bad play for him. Okay, it's not a bad play. I'd rather have JD Martinez going forward year to year than lose Mookie Betts in 2020 and get nothing.
Notable power hitters on the market next year, Jose Abreu, Marcelo Ozuna, Castellanos from the Tigers, Puig, Adam Eaton. I mean, that's what you're looking for. Outfield, first baseman, stuff like that.
Okay, so nothing
Rendon
great.
At third base. Nothing great.
Nothing great. And look, I'll tell you this, though, that when you look at that Red Sox lineup, again, the 3-4 is the big one. Bogaerts, Devers is the big one. You can find a number five hitter, and you're not going to have to pay out the nose for it. And I'll tell you what, I'll even give you, given the way it's going, if Michael Chavis is your number five hitter, that's not the worst thing in the world either. Your lineup may not be quite as good as it has been. But if you keep JD Martinez with Devers, Bogaerts, and Chavis hits 25 or 30 home runs, you have enough. You have enough. There's enough offense there. It is. It's not world beating. It's not what the Yankees have. But if it makes your bullpen better and your team is better, it's enough. You'll have enough offense. Zach is in D.C. on analytics in baseball. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, hey, Maz. Happy 4th.
You too.
I wanted to call because I want to demand an apology, not from you or anyone there, but from all of the nerds in baseball who have been blowing smoke up my rear end for last year, this year, everything. You know, I forget if it was Cora or Betts who, when they won the World Series, they were asked, you know, how'd you do it? How's your secret? And they pointed to the door where they lock the nerds in, and they said, those guys over there, they deserve it just as much as us, the players. I mean, the nerds that have, you know, told us at spring training, no, you don't need to be ready to go in spring training, you dummy. We have it all. This bullpen, it's great. I look at our war. What are you talking about, you stupid person? Sandy Leone, he's the answer to all of our prayers. And, I'm getting on a little bit of a rant. I know it's not the
no, no. So Zach, look, yeah, Zach, look, the ultimate point, I let you go. The ultimate point is that the analytics eliminate the human element. They eliminate the human element. I believe in a lot of the analytics too. People think I don't. There's a lot of value there. There is. But what measure is there, or what number is there, what metric that tells me how Mookie Betts is going to perform the year after the winning the World Series because he's not as motivated? Or that Chris Sale is not going to pitch as well because they're going to back him off his regular routine? Or what metric is there that's going to tell me that Rick Porcello isn't going to like going into a contract year? Like, what? There is no metric for that. You can't give me one. So the human element does come into play. And the fact is, the Red Sox went into this year thinking that every night was going to be like last night. And when I say that, I mean that they will pound the other pitcher, they'll get a big lead, and that they can run crap out of the bullpen because they're going to be up by so many runs that it's not going to matter. And then they'll get to the playoffs, and they'll use Evaldi, they'll use Price, they'll use Sale, and they'll be able to use them in relief because they didn't wear them out in the month of April. That was their plan. And it blew up on them. They just took it too far. Now, as it pertains to the bullpen, there are still problems out there. And some of what Dave Dombrowski said last night really bugged the crap out of me. And, oh, by the way, the newest edition of their bullpen debuted last night. In case you missed it, we'll tell you how that went after McCarthy gets you caught up on headlines.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're aboard, 2-2. And a shot, that one driven to left field, that one's deep. Racing back Benintendi toward the wall. And that's going to drop in. One run is in. Sogard coming in as well. There'll be no throw to the plate. That's a two-run double by Vlad Guerrero Jr.
So why would we play that? The Red Sox won last night. 10-6, I think, was the final. 10-3 game going into the ninth. Blue Jays got three. Why would we play that? You know why we play it? Because I'm a jerk.
Oh, yeah, because we're negative on this program.
Because yeah. I am. I'm a jerk. You know why? Because that was Trevor Kelly on the mound. That's the guy the Red Sox brought up a couple days ago. Last time it was his first game. But the word of the move came out on Monday. Alex Spear of the Globe had it. Trevor Kelly, right-handed pitcher with a 0.96 ERA at AAA. And I said, oh, geez, why hasn't this guy been here yet? How is it that a guy has a 0.96 ERA, the bullpen's radioactive, and this guy's not here? Why? Then I looked it up. He's a sidearmer. He's a circus act.
Yep.
Guy throws 86, 88 miles an hour. So what did they do? They put him in a big league game last night. You know what happened? He got his face ripped off. We'll get to that bullpen and Dave Dombrowski in a minute here. Give me 1 second. First, time for the big matchup of the game. I'm sorry, wrong one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Third of July. Who cares, Maz?
That's next segment.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm sure people are really upset.
Next segment.
Way to go. You screwed that up.
DraftKings Fantasy Baseball this season with the promo code Boston. It's time for the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night, by the way. So this season, promo code Boston when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code is Boston. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So I like to go off the board sometimes on these. Jordan Luplow of the Indians. And you're saying, who the hell is Jordan Luplow?
Yeah, I asked you that. Who the hell is this guy?
Okay. The salary is $4,300 tonight, which you say, well, for a guy named Jordan Luplow, that's a lot of dough. He could outperform it. Luplow annihilates left-handed pitching. He's got an OPS of over 1,100 in 8 of his 9 home runs against lefties. He's facing Danny Duffy and the Royals tonight in Kansas City, so a big ballpark. Typically a pitcher's park. I don't love the ballpark, but I love Luplow against left-handed pitching. And typically those are the kind of matchups you should be looking for in DraftKings. By the way, I gave you one last week. Do you guys remember this? Max Muncy in Colorado? 3 hits, 2 homers. That was last week's pick. Max Muncy, 3 hits, 2 homers. Do not doubt the evil eye. It works.
Says the man who picked Steve Pierce to be World Series MVP.
Correct.
That worked out pretty well for you.
I haven't picked him this year for good reason.
Didn't work out for the 2019 Red Sox, that's for sure, Mass.
David's in Weymouth on Mookie Betts. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Tony. My question is with Betts. You said trade him at the end of the season. Do you put better value at the end of the season than you do with the All-Star break where you could actually have a bidding war with him? And my other question is, we're looking at a future of Dalbach, Chavez, Bogaerts, and Devers. So how they allocate their money, if they get the right players for Betts and we can rate someone, we can maybe get some young players that can come in and play immediately. I think they have to leverage the asset of Betts the best they can going forward. And I think Chris Sale's future is Dennis Eckersley as a closer. Not Evaldi. I think it's Chris Sale's longevity and future. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, David, again, that's not completely out of the realm of possibility, although you don't typically pay a closer $30 million a year. And I know for luxury tax purposes, I think the number comes in around 25 for Sale because he deferred some money. So, that one separately. Sale began his career as a reliever. He could do it. There's no question about it. He could do it. It's just a lot of money. It's really poor use of your money to pay $30 million to a closer. Okay, now, as for the future of the team and your question about Mookie Betts, you could get more from at the deadline. I mean, think about it. It's logical. The team that acquires him would have him for 2 runs instead of 1. They'd have him for August and September of this year and next, all of next. So for sure you could get more from Mookie now. If you're telling me that someone came to the table and was willing to knock you over for Mookie Betts on July 31st, would I do it? My answer is yes. Will the Red Sox do it? My answer is no. So we can talk about it, and I'm happy to do that. It's talk radio. It's the sort of thing we do. But I just think the chances of it actually happening are borderline zero. However, during the offseason, I think it is very much in play. And I would tell you that typically players of that magnitude are dealt during the offseason in non-free agent years. Manny Machado was dealt last year. He was going to be a free agent at the end of the season. But guys who are, you know, have a full year left or more typically are dealt during the offseason because teams can build their rosters around guys like that. I mean, you're talking about a big move that completely affects your team. So Mookie Betts to me is in all probability, if it happens at all, would be a move that happens during the offseason. Now, as it with regard to the bullpen again and Trevor Kelly, Dombrowski talked about Eovaldi being a closer last time. We played some of this for you on the show. Matt McCarthy wasn't here. I don't know, Matt, if you used the sound later on in the night, you may have.
No, we were all Celtics last night.
Okay. Yep. You may have heard Dombrowski's comment. Again, I wrote about this for the website today because I think that Dave Dombrowski really comes off as, boy, does he come off as kind of a donkey when I heard this comment. Johnny Miller of WBZ AM.
The best.
And again, for those of you who don't know, I always feel the need to issue this disclaimer. Johnny has a speech impediment. He has cerebral palsy. He's had it for decades. So Johnny can be, you know, a little difficult to understand, but his voice can sound funny. So don't make fun of him, is what I'm telling you. Johnny asked Dombrowski about the move to put Eovaldi in the bullpen. Here was the exchange.
Is this desperation on the Red Sox part?
Oh, no, nothing like that. I don't think I've ever made a move in my career for desperation. That's not how you act. I think it makes sense based upon the circumstances when you look at it. I think it's putting an urgency, which is significantly different than desperation.
Okay, so it's not desperation, it's urgency.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So now we're going to play semantics. Okay, and I looked up both words today, and desperation means you do something irrational at a moment because you feel there were no other alternatives. So technically, might Dombrowski be right? I don't know. Maybe. But in the same breath, here's what I would tell you. A month ago, Alex Cora said there was a 99.9% chance that Nathan Eovaldi would come back as a starter. 99.9%. Which means there was 0.1% chance that Eovaldi would come back as a reliever. Now, I would argue that if you choose the 0.1%, that's desperate. That's what I would argue. 0.1% is 1 in 1,000. That is desperate. So Dave Dombrowski can quibble over the words all he wants, but the fact of the matter is when they tell us that it's 999 out of 1,000 that Nathan Eovaldi is coming back as a starter, 999 out of 1,000. Jimmy, I could rip up this piece of paper right here. Can you hear me ripping this up? We could rip it up into 1,000 pieces, and I write starter on 999 of them. The Red Sox picked the one that said bullpen, okay? And they're trying to tell me the move's not desperate? So I feel like this is Dombrowski at his worst when he starts feeding me the used car, as Murray calls it, used car salesman, but the mumbo-jumbo bullcrap and the tisk, 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 and you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. No. I would never, that's not how you act. I don't do it that way. He talks like a guy who's won more than 2 championships in 32 years. Because that's what it is. And he had gone 31 without winning at all until last year. So you would think a guy like that would understand how fickle the game is, how fickle success in the game is, how challenging the game is, rather than answer the question like he had all the answers. That just bugs the crap out of me. I would rather him say, hey guys, look, at the time our plan was to bring him back as a starter. Your question's legit, but our needs now are greater in another area. We talked to him about it. He's willing to do it, so this is the way we're going to go. Right now, our need is greater there. Obviously, you've watched us play. Instead of, no. Urgency is the word that we would use. Urgency. Jimmy, you remember that word too, don't you? Urgency?
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on. I'll come up with it. Huh. Just more of a urgency is the word I'm looking for. A greater sense of urgency.
Okay, so that's not apples to apples. That's Doug Marrone coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the soundbite is so good, we have to play it for you. Again,
urgency. No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on, I'll come up with it. Just more of a urgency.
So desperation? Not desperation.
Tisk. Don't talk to me like that.
This is a, we told you a month ago this was a 1 in 1,000 decision. I wouldn't call it desperation. Matt McCarthy, what would you call it?
Oh, I would call it desperation. Absolutely. And the fact that Dave Dombrowski is talking down to us like this again, Maz, it insults our intelligence. It insults your intelligence. It insults my intelligence. That's why I opened the show demanding a public apology from the Red Sox and Dave Dombrowski to all Red Sox fans and me personally for insulting my intelligence with this bullpen by committee crap, for insulting my intelligence when it comes to Nathan Eovaldi and the way they've handled this situation. I demand that it be public in nature and not private. You can tweet at me at Matt McCarthy 98.5 Dave Dombrowski. You still owe me that public apology. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, really? It's unbelievable what they've done.
No, that wouldn't be the word. hold on, I'll come up with it.
Yeah, let me think.
Just more of a urgency is the word I'm looking for. A greater sense of urgency.
Oh, that's an all-timer. That's one of my favorites.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.